From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 15th day of March 2012. Your crop insurance decisions are due now. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, a bit later in the program. We'll look at cash grain with Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor and talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Peter Levitt. David Dickey will be here with the agricultural news for the afternoon. And we'll check in with Daryl Good again about the battle for acres and soybeans. And it all comes up on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural services on Illinois Public Media comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. More information is at sfarmmarketing.com.
Checking the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon. Futures were higher in the wheat pit. Nearby contract up 21 cents today to settle at $6.64¾. July at $6.72½, up 18. And September wheat at $6.86½, up 16½. December futures, $7.03¾, up 14¼, and the March at $7.16¼, up 12¾¢. May corn futures $6.69, up 10¼. July at $6.67, 10¼ higher. September, $6.06, up 4¾. And December futures in the corn pit up $5, or rather at $5.72¼, up 8¼¢. March futures $5.81½, up 7¼ for the day, and July of next year at $5.93¼. That's the 2013 contract, up 8½¢. May soybean futures $13.69, up 18¾. July at $18.75½, up 19¢. August 18.65¼, up 17¼. In September futures, 13. Boy, $18, huh? Nice. May futures 13.69, up 18¾. July 13.75½, up 19. August at 13.65¼, up 17¼. November beans at $13.26¼. They finished 15¼ higher. Bean meal futures at 3.71.40, up 4.20. Bean oil at 55.48, up 68¢ on the afternoon. Live cattle futures today, June contract at 122.85, down $1.05. April feeders at $156, $1.22½ lower. And the May lean hogs today at $95.15, up 15¢. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, April contract at $105.32 a barrel, 11 cents lower. Ethanol at 233¢, that's 3¢ of a cent higher. Natural gas at 227¢, a penny and 2¢ lower. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.22¢ of a cent, down 3¢ of a cent. And the gold futures at $1,659.10 an ounce, $16.60 higher. The dollar at 80.13. That's down 0.42. The CRB index at 315.90. That's 0.73 higher. The weather forecast says that in Urbana-Champaign yet this afternoon, we shall see scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. It'll be partly sunny, the high of 82 degrees today, with a southwest wind at about 16 miles an hour, gusting to 23. The chance of precipitation this afternoon set at 30%. That will continue right on into tonight, when we'll have a low of 59 degrees with a south-southwest wind at 6 to 9. And then tomorrow, isolated showers, a thunderstorm or two, that after 1 p.m., partly sunny. A high near 80 degrees tomorrow with a southwest wind. Chance of precip set at 20%. Friday night, mostly cloudy and 58. And on Thursday, on Saturday, a 40% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, partly sunny, and a high of 76 degrees with a southwest wind at 8 to 15, gusting as high as 21. Saturday night, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and a low of 58. And on Sunday, a 30% chance of showers, partly sunny, and a high of 79 degrees. Sunday night, partly cloudy, and a low of 60. On Monday, partly sunny, and a high of 78. By the time we get to Monday night, cloudy and 58, mostly sunny on Tuesday of next week, and 78 degrees. And then on Tuesday night, partly cloudy and 57. Wednesday, sunny and 73. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Time to check the futures markets. Dan Zwicker at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, on the phone line. Dan, thanks so much for taking the time with us today. Interesting day in Chicago. Lots of green on the screens.
Yeah, it sure is. And this may go down as the start of a pretty good bull market in corn. We did finish above the high points that we've kind of posted there during November and December, and actually I think even October, that 666 level closes above this now as kind of a breakout of that 96-cent trading range. So one would think that we would get some pretty good follow-through on that. And then it wouldn't be surprising that the market would maybe fall back to the point of breakout to see if the breakout's valid or not. But if it's valid, it's signaling that the corn market's got a ways to go in here.
Why would it do such a thing?
Well, my guess is that USDA's numbers on March 30th is going to show a tighter supply situation than probably what's on currently on the balance sheet. I think the market smells that. That's one of the reasons why the market has been strengthening. And who knows, though? I mean, these stocks reports have been quite wild. But I, you know, when you got strong basis levels like what we've had basically since the start of the marketing year, one would have to assume that the supplies are not necessarily there. What USDA says they are, either they're way low or way high on the production number, and or demand is much stronger than what they've got penciled in their balance sheets.
Does the kind of upside potential you see in the marketplace bring with it very much risk for destruction of any of the industries that are end users?
Well, that's going to be the function of the market, and it would be unfortunate if it has to do a real major spike, but, I mean, that'll be the function of the market. I mean, USDA's got carry out their last balance sheet at $800 million. I'm more in opinion it's closer to $600 than $800, and I really don't see us getting underneath $9 million. Even with an early planting. So, you know, my guess, and this is just a guess, is that we need to ration something like 300 million bushels of corn out of the balance sheet, and maybe more if China is a real big buyer. But my guess is China is going to be more of a buyer of new crop corn than probably old crop corn and take advantage of that discount.
Well, let me ask another question, and I don't know whether you can answer this or not, but it would seem that we could ration 300 million out fairly easily within the ethanol industry simply by use of the RINs at this point. There should be plenty of those around to manage that many bushels, I would think.
Yeah, there are, but the RINs ain't worth a lot. They only have like a penny three value, penny point three, I don't think.
Right.
All your blending economics are real favorable. Price of gasoline is fairly high, and you know, the chart pattern on crude oil implies that if we would get into some kind of turbulence in the Mideast, that crude oil prices could take off soaring to record highs. And then that would, you know, make ethanol demand probably all the more, because blend economics would really work on that. So who knows what the future holds. But, yeah, I mean, eventually, I mean, depending upon which processing plant you talk to, they could be losing anywhere from 1 to 2 cents a bushel right now. That's not a big deal. For the people that carry risk management programs, they're probably purring along pretty good. If they don't have a sophisticated risk management program, then they're probably losing, you know, a couple cents a bushel on their grind here.
But at this point, the ethanol industry looks like it's in pretty good condition, and that as long as the price of crude continues to on its upward movement, it will stay that way.
Yeah, I think so, and especially if the dollar weakens. I mean, this is, I mean, part of today's strength is just the way with all the economic figures are showing that the economy is improving some. We do have some problems, but and what goes along with an improving economy is going to be higher energy prices, and the question is how high do these energy prices go before it chokes the improving economy? And as long as the Federal Reserve Board has an easy monetary policy, you know, commodities are going to have a tendency to have more upward momentum than downward momentum.
Inflation?
I think so. I think if you look at the 30-year bond chart, we've seen a big break in that market here over the last few days. And I think that is indicating that the market does whiff a smell of some inflation coming down the road. The only people that will buy those 30-year bonds will probably be the federal government by printing more money. The government continues to spend more money than it takes out, so Bernanke doesn't have any choice but to print more money. And until Congress gets their arms around spending, Bernanke is going to continue to print money, and that's going to try to artificially keep interest rates low, which will eventually lead to pretty good inflation at some point in time.
All right. The old crop folks are waiting for $7 cash. Will they see it?
My guess is that's going to happen. I mean, I'm friendly old crop corn. I'm even friendly new crop corn. I think we've got one more drive yet to the top. There's going to be a couple resistance points. I mean, there's a chart gap on the lead futures chart somewhere around 680 to 685. That's going to be a resistance point.
Right.
Then the next one is going to be up there around 714. The basis levels will probably begin to weaken once we cross that $7 mark. So I would not expect to see the basis levels stay as strong as they are if we start climbing above the $7 futures mark.
$6 for corn, for December corn, new crop?
Oh, I think the odds favor that we'll take out the January high. I do believe the intentions are quite high, but I think the strength in the bean market is getting some attention and is maybe taking a few acres away from soybeans. I have no idea what USDA is going to report, but I do know traveling through the growing region this winter that the intentions are very high to plant corn because the corn-soybean ratio, when it gets down underneath 2-to-1, really favors the corn market. And this is a 5-year low on the corn soybean ratio. So I think soybeans are basically going to gain on corn now for the next 18 to 24 months. So corn is not going to become any more profitable than it was this fall when farmers were making their decisions. Actually, soybeans are going to become, I think, more favorable as we go down the road a few months.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
That's all I have.
Okay, thank you so much.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Joins us here on the closing market report on this Thursday afternoon. A couple of notes. I talked to Emerson Nafziger this morning. We'll hear from him tomorrow about early season field work and whether that should be done or not, planting in particular. And the point, I suppose, is it's risky, especially at this time, but it does happen in the state of Illinois. He did say that if it stays dry and warm, it will look really good. If we have our normal freeze dates, freeze-free dates, then it won't look so good. So we'll hear more from him tomorrow. Dave Deke is here to now. He will take a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Senate yesterday passed a two-year, $109 billion transportation bill to rebuild roads, bridges, and rail systems, and sent the measure to the House of Representatives. House Speaker John Bonner has said he will take up the Senate bill if Republicans cannot agree on a longer-term measure that reforms public transit funding. Funding authority for highway and rail construction projects expires on March 31st. Some 1.8 million construction workers could face layoffs if no action is taken before then. Iowa State University ag economist Dermot Hayes says a shallow loss program would encourage more commodity production on marginal land at the fringes of the Corn Belt and also push down prices in the main corn and soybean states. The Senate Agriculture Committee is holding hearings on risk management and commodities today that include four panels and 12 witnesses. It's the last scheduled hearing for senators who have indicated that they want to write and pass a farm bill out of committee this spring. Hayes says that he's studied some of the main proposals for shallow loss programs and also used information from a University of Illinois study. Hayes says that farmers in states where weather is more variable would be willing to risk increased planted acres if they are offered a percent of revenue guarantee that does not cost them out of pocket. The Federal Reserve Board on Wednesday said that it has launched an official Twitter account, its latest step in explaining to the public more about the central bank. The official Twitter account for the central bank at Federal Reserve will mainly include links to press releases, speeches, reports to Congress, monthly reports on credit and liquidity programs, as well as reports on the Fed's balance sheet. The European Parliament yesterday approved a deal between the EU and both the U.S. and Canada on hormone-treated beef, ending one of the trading partners' oldest disputes. The case dates back to 1988, when the European Union banned all imports of beef from cattle treated with growth hormones, a move that prompted U.S. and Canadian sanctions of $125 million a year on European products. The main beneficiaries of lifting the U.S. sanctions are expected to be Italy, Poland, Greece, Ireland, Germany, Denmark, France, and Spain. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Up next, you know, the short soybean crop in South America. Well, it's rallied futures here in the United States. I'll have more on the acreage battle that some think has begun at the Commodities Exchange in Chicago.
We would like to thank these businesses for helping to make our 23rd annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting in Covington a great success. Strategic Farm Marketing, Boulder Design, Stuart Peterson, and Pioneer Seeds. We look forward to seeing you all again next year.
Last fall, even just 2 months ago, most people would have said there was no need for the price of corn and soybeans to go higher in order to switch acres from one crop to the other in the United States. If that battle does take place, it's likely to be on the fringe, and even then, ag economist Darrell Good says there's plenty of available extra acres.
We're expecting the increase in planted acres this year over 2011 primarily to come from fewer prevented planted acres than we had last year. FSA reported over 9.5 million acres intended for planting but didn't get planted last year. A big chunk of that was wheat in the southern plains, but we also had corn in the eastern Corn Belt and some soybeans that didn't get planted. But most of the unplanted would be in the plain states. So that'll give us room for more wheat and more feed grains, I think, in those areas. Some talk about reduced cotton acres that might free up acreage for both corn and soybeans in the southeast. We had a few acres come out of the CRP. Again, those tend to not be in the heart of the Corn Belt. But total acreage, we should have a lot more planted acres of crops than we had in 2011. And then the calculation that most people are doing for the Midwest, saying, okay, let's look at the budgets, corn on corn versus soybeans on corn acres, and which pencils out to be more profitable. And, you know, using average costs here in central to northern Illinois, and today's new crop bids, it still shows a pretty good advantage to corn over corn, unless there's a pretty good yield penalty for doing that. Even building in a slight yield penalty, still showing, you know, $70 an acre more favorable to corn. So I think that's a reason that, obviously, that the market expects more corn acres, that the price, even though soybeans have gone up a lot in the past 5 weeks, corn is still pretty competitive.
So if you're thinking acreage battle, maybe not, at least according to U of I Ag economist Darrell Good. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Matt Bennett from TGM is here to take a look at the cash grain market. What a day in Chicago, Matt. Did your bids there followed up nicely?
Oh, yeah. It's been a very interesting day. You know, a lot of guys have been in looking at some sales on beans, especially new crop sales, been pretty attractive in here. Really getting close to 13 locally, so that's got some guys raising their eyebrows, but it's a good day. Everybody's in a good mood today anyway.
Well, they're in a good mood today. You think they'll be able to stay that way? It's warm. They're in the field. They've got numbers that look awful good in Chicago at this point.
Yeah, I think so. And, in fact, you know, of course, there are a few guys getting out there doing some stuff, just working ground here locally. I haven't heard about anybody planting corn. I'm sure it's going on, but I haven't heard about it. So, I don't know. This time of year, not everyone's talking as much about it whenever they're planting. But insurance date's April 6th, so they got to be a little bit wary of that.
Yes, they do. And, you know, the other thing that keeps getting mentioned, and I think is probably right, is that there may not be, if it gets frozen off, there probably won't be corn to replace it with for a replant, I would think.
Yeah, I think there'll be corn, but here's the thing, you know, the numbers guys are looking to plant, or the numbers they're accustomed to planting, are not going to be available. They're just flat out not going to be available. Some guys have had a real hard time getting what they want for the first go. And so you got to know that the replant situation is going to be awfully scarce. You're going to be looking at some numbers, haven't planted in a few years, most likely. And, you know, the genetics are going to be an altogether different part of the deal on the replant as far as compared to the original.
You know, we talked to Zwicker earlier in the half hour, and you know from Tuesday of last week that he's still bullish the marketplace. This kept him in that mode. What's the possibility that it's a blow-off top as opposed to the beginning of a big move higher?
Well, I think there's definitely those possibilities exist, and I think, to me, of course, I'm a little more fundamental looking at things, but I think what I'm looking at, the things that are really going to telltale the signs for me are, what are we going to do as far as planting? Are we going to be planting here at the end of the month? Are we going to be planting whenever the acreage comes out? And if we are, even with, you know, a bearish or a bullish number on corn, I could still see us going lower if we're moving early, because, you know as well as I do, a good spring is going to mean that we're going to be able to hopefully plant a lot more corn acres. And then, you know, goes along with that, looking at it from the cash grain side, if we get an early start, you know, a little bit of that fear as far as basis levels for the summertime are going to abate. So there's just a lot of things to consider here.
All right, Matt, your bids for the day?
676 on cash corn, 547 for fall, 1353 for cash beans, and 1296 for fall.
Thanks so much. Was that load corn or beans that I just heard?
What's that?
The load coming in now, corn or beans?
It's actually a load of corn going out.
Oh, going out. Hey, thanks much. Bye.
Thanks, bud.
Toronto may have their swallows, but Hinckley, Ohio has turkey buzzards. They return to the town each year on or about this same date for the summer. They winter in Dade County, Florida. On this day in agricultural history in 1858, Liberty Hyde Bailey was born. An American horticulturalist, he helped create the science of horticulture, made systematic studies of cultivated plants, and was a recognized authority on plant pathology and agriculture. He made special studies of blackberries, grapes, cabbages, and squashes. Bailey served as Dean of Agriculture at Cornell University for 15 years. In 1889, Melvin Reuben Bissell died. Bissell invented the carpet sweeper in 1876. The inner workings and cases were made by women working in their homes. tufts of hog bristles were bound with string dipped in hot pitch, inserted in brush rollers, and finally trimmed with scissors. In 1980, McDonald's test marketed Chicken McNuggets in Knoxville, Tennessee. The chicken nugget was invented in the 1950s by Robert Baker, a food science professor at Cornell University. And in 1998, Edwin Shoemaker died, an American inventor and engineer. He created the recliner chair and founded the Lazy Boy Furniture Company. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
On this Thursday afternoon, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Pete Lavitt on the phone line to take up the weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's the Thursday of the month. That means we have some reports out from the National Weather Service. What do they show us?
Well, they show us something which I don't think is a surprise to many people. That's through the month of April now. We have the temperatures forecast to be above normal throughout almost all of the central United States, actually only cool in the Pacific Northwest and warm just about everywhere else except northern New England. And for precipitation, we have above normal precipitation forecast for most of the eastern Corn Belt, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, down into Kentucky and Tennessee. So that's something to keep an eye on, above normal precipitation. We're going to be happy we're getting a little dry weather now, I believe. And then only the Southwest being dry. A quick look at the forecast for the summer months has it mostly warm across the entire southern half of the country, from California to the East Coast. And then equal chances, which means near normal temperatures, forecast for the North Central and the Midwestern states. So that's possibly positive if it's right, because it means that maybe we won't have to look at the combination of both warmth and drought when we move into the summer months. But still, that's a long way away. Right now, we're going to take advantage of the nice weather we have.
So I know, for instance, that there is corn planting in the western part of Illinois, in the bottoms, along the Mississippi and Illinois rivers. That usually takes place about this time of year. And then there's some things happening south of Effingham, I know. But I also understand that our free dates are April 14 for a good portion of those areas, and then our area is April 21st. You're telling us that the National Weather Service says warmer than normal. Do we have to worry about a corn crop that's put in the ground and will be up in, I don't know, 7 to 10 days here?
Yeah, I think we have to be concerned. I really do. I know that the extended forecast has us above normal in April, but the kind of volatile pattern we've been in, we have this period of ridging over the central and eastern U.S., which means above normal temperatures. But we're going to see cold air coming pretty close by next week. We won't get through Illinois, but it's going to move off as far east as the Rockies and bring temperatures down, and a lot of precipitation up through there, by the way, and some of that's going to be very useful in the southern plains. Wheat Belt finally looks like even the western portions will see rain this next week. And then we see the ridge back again following the week. That means more warm weather. But we can get one trough moving across in, say, early April, and a lot of our problems start with early plantings. Now, the good news is that correlations with yields, early planted corn generally comes up with better than normal yields. Similarly for soybeans, late planted corn is the type of crop that correlates with below normal yields. But a lot of that is because it got into the ground late because the weather was too bad to plant early.
Yeah.
Once in a rare while, you do get freezes which take the crop off. We're not looking for that now, but it's we'll talk about that over the next week or two.
Okay, thanks so much.
Okay, Todd, my pleasure.
That's Pete Leavitt. I'm Todd Gleason.